With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Clear and concise. This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Humility, being humble, the ability to admit when one is wrong. These are essential traits of being what? Well, a word that sounds a lot like the first two. It's called human. And unfortunately, there's a person right now that although is being highly persecuted and highly prosecuted unfairly by the very predator class that I often preach against, this is his greatest Achilles heel. And of course, I am talking about none other than Donnie T, the Trump minister himself. And let's start with the fact he was found in contempt of court yet again today. All right, not a surprise. And I'm getting less and less pushback when I do interview people and I say they're going to find him guilty in one of these cases and put him in jail. Now, the judge threatened him with jail again today. For what? Daring to speak out against the system that has now gagged him. But here's the problem. Donald Trump has to start being human and not Donald Trump. And what do I mean by that? He already has a massive base. He has a cult-like following that I have seen no American leader have in my entire lifetime. And yes, I do remember Reagan. I know a lot of people want to bring up Reagan. This guy's a rock star compared to Reagan. Now, on the other end, he is also the Howard Stern heel to a large sect of the populace. But the bottom line is he's doing himself no favors by not coming clean and saying, I made a mistake when we bombed Syria. That attack didn't happen. I made a mistake with Julian Assange. I should have stopped all prosecution prior and pre-stopped any other type of charges he would have gotten later after my administration. I should have spoke up for Alex Jones, because all of those things didn't happen. And the biggest one, and the one he is getting fair criticism in my perspective from, are the hate and lie shots, Operation Warp Speed. I saw yet another person that I highly respect that I've had on this program, Michael Yon, just do a short video precluding that, because you can't keep saying, they're the best, we did it. You can't. People see past that. They don't like it. You do lose a certain percentage of people. And you also enable the other side to point out those flaws. And those are the real flaws of that man. Now, going back to internet censorship, the moment Alex Jones was banned in unison, okay, he should have stepped up to the plate. The moment that lawyers started to have their judges default on Jones for getting a news story wrong, he should have stepped in on that, and he didn't. And they did the same thing to him on a larger scale, if you can believe that's possible. And only a larger scale because they're bringing the criminal element into it. Think about the absurdity of Jones getting a story wrong and having to pay out $1 billion for that. $1 billion. The media don't pay out billions, do they? No. Only when they're being sued by Dominion. And the great narrative is that you can't question the most free and fair election where a dementia patient was installed. That's the reality of the situation. So Donnie T, I just say, hey man, come on over the other side, be a little human, start admitting where you got things wrong and tell us how you're going to fix them. Because you're not going to fix them with Marco Rubio as your VP. You're not going to fix them with Tim Scott in the administration. And quite frankly, that moves people like myself, and I would I'd say any other thinking person out there, further away from your campaign. Folks, we need you to come closer to TNT Radio. We need you to give us a follow across social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, all the censored ones. That's okay. X the, I don't know, maybe it's free Elon Musk skirdoo. I mean, it's the best kid in a bad neighborhood. We got the Getter. We got the Gab. We're also there on Truth Social. So give us a follow. Give us a retweet. Show people the clips. Let people know about TNTRadio.live. And if you can, make that donation. I like being able to analyze the news from an honest perspective without corporate media making myself whore out, which I can't do. I can't whore out for the corporate dollars, folks. And I hope that you understand that. TNT, after this.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Monday, Russia announced plans to hold drills simulating the use of tactical nuclear weapons. You gotta love that term. Tactical nuclear weapon. Just days after the Kremlin reacted angrily to comments made by senior Western officials concerning the war in Ukraine. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT news producer Adam Clark, bringing the ruckus on this very concerning story that I'm not hearing much about elsewhere. What do we got?
We're going nuclear, Jason. It's inevitable, right? So Russia is ready to, Russia is ready to be fully ready to deter threats against it, and they want to conduct tactical nuclear weapons drill in order to do so, and they want everyone to know that this is because of rhetoric coming from the West. So that's wonderful. So when World War III happens, they want everyone to know it was our fault, I guess. I guess I couldn't argue with that. Anyways, hopefully we can prevent that from happening. A specific debt for these alleged nuclear drills have yet to be published. We don't know when this will be taking place. But as I mentioned, it is important to note that the Kremlin has made it abundantly clear that the order is directly in response to recent threatening comments from Western powers. Take, for instance, both the United States and the United Kingdom have lately pledged to continue arming Ukraine, quote, for as long as it takes, end quote. And furthermore, British officials have openly stated that Ukraine may use UK-supplied weaponry to just go ahead and, you know, attack inside Russia if necessary. There's also the example of France's Macron continually talking about being open to Western boots on the ground in defense of Ukraine. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron was in Ukraine late last week, his second trip there since the war began, where he stated provocatively, quote, "Ukraine has that right. Just as Russia is striking inside Ukraine, you can quite understand why Ukraine feels the need to make sure it's defending itself," end quote. Russia's foreign ministry, in response, promptly summoned UK ambassador to Moscow, Nigel Casey, over the remarks. The ministry stated after the meeting, quote, "Casey was warned that the response to Ukrainian strikes using British weapons on Russian territory could be any British military facilities and equipment on the territory of Ukraine and beyond," end quote. Importantly, the Kremlin laid out that Cameron's words mean he, quote, "de facto recognized his country as party to the conflict," end quote. This marks possibly the first time that the Russian government specifically threatened to attack British military installations and equipment within Ukraine and beyond. The foreign ministry statement further said this constitutes, quote, "evidence of a serious escalation and confirmation of London's increasing involvement in military operations on the side of Kiev," end quote. Ambassador Casey has been urged to, quote, "think about the inevitable catastrophic consequences of such hostile steps from London and to immediately refute in the most decisive and unequivocal manner the bellicose provocative statements of the head of the Foreign Office," end quote. French Ambassador Pierre Levy has also been summoned to the Russian Foreign Ministry for a tongue lashing on Monday, and the French government likely was also issued similar tongue lashings. Again, this comes as Macron is still pushing the idea of NATO troops in Ukraine, while which luckily a number of allies have rejected. And yeah, again, a timeline for the drills has yet to be revealed, but the Kremlin has confirmed the exercise will take place, quote, in the near future, end quote. But with rhetoric like this, Jason, and threats like that, do we all have a future? What say you, my friend?
I say I don't like any of this, right? I mean, this clearly shows that this has no, and I mean no chance of a resolution before this election. And even after this election, I'm not sure what's going to happen. You heard the monologue. It's pretty apparent to me that other than a miracle of a hung jury, which I don't think we're going to see, we're going to see a criminal prosecution. We've already got threats of jail time today for the guy that's supposed to fix it. And I'm not so sure that he can. Now, we talk about Europe. I've often posited that a nuclear event goes off anywhere in the world, especially the United States or Europe. Everything changes everywhere. Everything. There are no such things as tactical nuclear weapons. Now, I do think there is the chance that you could have a nuclear event that does not spark off total Armageddon. In other words, just missiles going off everywhere. But even if you had that singular nuclear event, Adam, the fear that would be caused globally, especially in the westernized world, would submerge us into a tyranny the likes of which this generation just have never seen. So this is, I'm not happy about it. We weren't big on the happiness and sunshine on Friday's show, but this is even more concerning because, like they also said, now they're openly talking about Western boots on the ground. I've got news for everybody. There have been Western boots on the ground since the inception of this. What they're really talking about is a larger scale military operation where now the media will be embedded with people that look like you and speak your language that are going off to their death. That's actually what's going to happen. Now they'll do that sparsely, kind of like what they did with the war on terror. But one of the most underreported stories about this whole conflict is the fact that it's underreported because the media is not embedded for the first time in a large scale westernized military operation that we're clearly running, Adam.
It's an excellent point. That's a number of excellent points, Jason. And then you add on to this. I mean, because this nuclear rhetoric is really stepping up, not just with Russia, but also China. There's just a lot of talk about the potential for weaponry in space from China in particular. So they're beating that drum. But the thing is, like, you know, we've talked about this many, many times. This is the one thing that we all would like to come together and hopefully avoid is some sort of nuclear exchange. I mean, it wasn't that the way it was when you and I were kids growing up. Like, everyone kind of agreed. We had this mutually assured destruction, I believe it's called. Whatever happened to that? Common sense went out the window a long time ago. And it's just a shame, a frightening shame at that.
So, you know, I'm still from the generation, the last generation of duck and cover. Now, we didn't do the desk thing, but I remember, and this is just kind of one of those stories that kind of awoke me up to just propaganda across the board later on. You would do these drills pretty often, and what would happen is everybody would go into the hallways outside of their classrooms, and they would duck and cover kind of like in this cubbied position all the way down the line for these nuclear drills. Now, I have no idea how effective that would be. Nuclear strike, probably not very. But one of the things that always struck me about that was, at the same time, I never saw like pictures of Gorbachev as evil or Stalin, or, you know, I didn't know the figures. I just knew that Russia was the bad guy and they were going to nuke us. They showed us the video the day after tomorrow. And one of the things later on, after that threat had kind of subsided, and, you know, you just talked about space, Russia, the United States, that space race came together with the ISS later on, China up there as well. Clearly, there's been militarization of space. That's a discussion for later on. But I remember going back to my high school, which was also like, a middle school. I mean, very small. I graduated 54 kids, where I used to play sports. And I was there for a men's night basketball game. Now remember, kids as young as 12 go to school here. And we're playing basketball. I go into the very locker room that I used to suit up for. And in the urinals was the face of Osama bin Laden. Now that event wasn't even nuclear. And I just thought to myself, you know, this is pretty crazy that you got kids as young as 12 peeing on the current enemy. And there was just that like light bulb moment that I had to make sure I actually knew something about this guy and the situation and whether or not my government was involved. You know, I certainly, that is one of the main steps in the journey. And that night is when I just looked up a timeline of 9/11, the first 24 hours of it, and then a broader one. And let me tell you, that's why we're here talking, bro. That's why we're here talking. So folks, it is a scary time, but we have to read through what's real and what is the propaganda. They've feeding us a lot of propaganda the last several years on this conflict. Adam, we will see you in the second hour. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the dumbing down, not only of the world, but America in particular, IQ levels on the DL. Back after this with Courtney Turner, it's TNT.
TNT's James Freeman.
But yes, it seems that the weather is the only friend of the British Conservative Party at the moment, because as long as the weather remains poor, the number of boats ferrying illegal migrants across the Channel remains modest. But as soon as the summer kicks in and the seas are calm, I reckon we will see record numbers coming across the Channel once again. Because it's not like the government's Rwanda bill is going to have any impact at all. Not the way it's being deployed anyway. We heard this week that around 60% of those identified as being eligible for a nice little trip to the African nation of Rwanda have absconded. The Home Office has lost contact with them, and so the whole scheme is now in chaos.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. TNTradio.live.
Online.
Online.
Online streaming.
Be a part of the conversation.
I stream it all at work, and I stream it to my phone and listen to it wherever I go.
TNT.
And we are now joined by one of my favorite experts on modern day globalization, Courtney Turner of the Courtney Turner Podcast. And, you know, Courtney, we often talk about the United Nations, what's going on, the destruction by design in this country, but we don't talk about the overall attack on intelligence and the ability to think in general. And, you know, these two stories that we're talking about right here are pretty wild. We've got number one, for the first time ever, the United States having a decline in IQ. That's wild. But dropping below 100, that's extremely threatening. And then you have this paper, Ideology and Costume, Growing Threat to Intelligence Studies, which basically points out that these ideologies that are being projected are taking away from critical thinking, often because they're the inverse of reality. And this is dumbing down a generation like never before. So let's talk about the paper first, and then what I think are really the results of some of those issues.
Sure. Well, the paper is really interesting. I actually haven't printed it out, but I just started reading it yesterday. And it's basically talking about like the studies of like intelligence, which is not the study of IQ, like we were like the other article, but it's the study of like military intelligence, essentially. And, you know, for most people, when they think of military intelligence, you're thinking about collecting intelligence information to defend your nation. That's typically what people think. That's the very watered down explanation of it, but that's, you know, kind of the gist. And what is happening now is they're politicizing it. So this article, it was by Gentry. I actually reached out to him. I'd love to talk to him about it. He's speculating and he's basically positing that what's happened for the past several decades is that we're no longer, just collecting information in these intelligence departments. They're now becoming politicized to infiltrate with Marxism. And if you remember in 2017, Rich Higgins actually sent a memo basically saying this. He was saying that it was a warning to Trump. It was a 7-page document. For anybody who has not seen it, I actually just reposted it on my Twitter. I think everybody should read it. It's just a really great 7-page outline of the history of Marxism and neo-Marxism in particular. And that's what this article was all about, was how it was, you know, it goes through the history of the Frankfurt School, which was actually initially called the Institute of Marxismists, although, you know, basically the institution for Marxism. They thought that was a little bit too on the nose, so they changed it to the Frankfurt School. It was out of Frankfurt, Germany. And that's a really interesting just how that came to be. There was, and a lot of people don't know the story. I found it in Antonio Gramsci's grandson's memoirs. He talks about how Lenin called a meeting between Georgi Lukács, Willy Munzenberg, and Antonio Gramsci because he was very concerned that the revolutions weren't spreading all through the West like Karl Marx said that it would. And so he was very concerned. He didn't know what to do. And it was Antonio Gramsci who said, the problem is that you're treating this as an economic problem and you're expecting an economic revolution. However, what you need to understand is that we have to infiltrate through the culture. And of course, you know, that's when the long march through the institutions began. Very shortly after, they set up shop, the Institute for Social Research, the Institute for Marxism, and also known as the Frankfurt School. And then, of course, they were exiled because of what was going on with Nazi Germany. So in 1933, they set up shop at the Institute for Social Research. They were given their own building at Columbia University. No coincidence that that's where so many of, the revolutionary acts that we see today are centered. It was also where, at that time, the technocracy institute was during the early 30s as well at Columbia University. So he really just outlines how the intelligence agencies are becoming infiltrated with Marxism and they're becoming politicized as opposed to doing what they were designed to do. And he's warning that this is a real threat.
And it is a real threat because it makes people on the inside of these intelligence agencies throughout top to bottom go after those that they're told, essentially, anybody who is anti the current narrative. It doesn't really matter what their belief system is if it's outside the realm of what they believe. So criminal behavior really moves into the realm of, again, speech and thought. And that's what's really frightening, because we've already seen the mobilization of the Department of Homeland Security, the Injustice Department, against quote unquote MAGA extremists. It's not just them. You also have this black nationalist group that the Department of Justice has gone after. And that's what people don't understand. It's everybody that supposedly had these Russian ties. They don't have any ties to Russia at all. But again, this is going to be a huge win for these departments because it really utilizes tools to go against anybody that goes outside of the norm. That's what this equity agenda is also about. It's a quality of outcome. Either you obey what is the norm and what's being said, or eventually we're coming for you.
Yeah. And, you know, this is all tied to when you talk about the dumbing down of America. There's a really great book, anybody who's not familiar, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Iserbeet. She was a force. She was amazing. And she talks about, you know, all of the agendas through the education system. Of course, she called it Communist Core. That's also known as worldwide. It was called the World Core Curriculum. This was initiated by Robert Mueller, who was one of the assistant generals of the UN. He was at the UN for 40 years. And but in America, it's called Common Core. And this has roots in absolutely Marxism, Bundtian. It was Anthony Sutton who refers to it as the Americanization of Wundt, Wilhelm Wundt. And they were all Hegelians, and they exported the Prussian model of education to the United States. And this was really the deliberate dumbing down of Americans. And it's totally tied into what's going on now with the document with the intelligence studies. I will just read this really quickly, this quote, because I thought it was really interesting. In 1927, they say that education is the drawing out of a person's innate talents and abilities by imparting the knowledge of languages, scientific reasoning, history, literature, rhetoric, etc., the channels through which those abilities would flourish and serve. And then in 1934, it was changed to say, and this is very Wundtian or Skinner, Pavlovian, you know, this is where you have the experimental psychologists who have infiltrated the field of education and treat students as lab rats, as opposed to giving them foundational tools in order to hone and develop their natural innate talents and skills. So this is learning is the result of modifiability in the paths of neural conduction. Explanations of even such forms of learning as abstraction and generalization demand of the neurons only growth, excitability, conductivity, and modifiability. The mind is the connection system of man, and learning is the process of connecting. The situation response formula is adequate to cover learning of any sort, and the really influential factors in learning are readiness of the neurons, sequence in time, belongingness, and satisfying consequences.
That is a very command and control type of response. We're going to get to that in a moment. We got to take a quick break for the headlines. More with Courtney Turner after this.
Hear about it.
We're depending on our congressmen.
Talk about it.
The people have to stand up and say enough.
Now, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The Israeli government has decided to continue its military operations in Rafah despite a ceasefire proposal from Hamas, which Israel claims does not meet its requirements. Chad is conducting presidential elections as part of a transition to civilian rule, a first for the Sahel region after recent coups. Authorities in Long Beach, California declared a health emergency due to a tuberculosis outbreak linked to a local hotel, resulting in at least one death and over a dozen infections.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction,
misinformation from the truth.
From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Courtney, when you read those two separate definitions of education, the first one really relates to the fact that you're taking in all of this different information and using discernment, right? You even threw in the word rhetoric. Now, the second definition had modifiability in it twice. And yep. That's really where you get this Skinner-esque Pavlovian behavior of behavior modification through extenuating circumstances, the kind of nature versus nurture argument.
Yep.
And at its very level, that is social and even biological engineering. And when we talk about this IQ drop, I would argue it's a bit of both, right? Our diets are poor. Our general knowledge is poor. The ability to think for ourselves, especially in the civics arena, is poor. Even our, you know, our physical biological selves are now so drugged, even when you are a healthy person physically, they're now encouraging you to take these mind drugs. That is poor. I mean, they have attacked us from every single level by way of that very second definition that you just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that definition is really paving the way for the transhumanism, because it's such a robotic definition of education. And when you talk about the drugs, the drug-induced, you know, coma that so many are in, I've been reading the Stanford Research Institute, Changing Images of Man. And then, of course, the Fetzer Institute did the Changing 2000, Changing Images 2000. And in that, they talk about, you know, that that's one of the ways that we can essentially, they don't use the word, but socially engineer society is through the drugs. And right after that, you look at the statistics. The prescription drug, not just the psychedelics, you know, that also went up pretty high. Obviously, that was after the whole counterculture movement. But the prescription drugs went up like exponentially right after that experiment was done. So I think it looks pretty contrived. It looks like they intentionally want to dumb us down so that we're much more easily controlled.
And it's so sad. So I'm in the car with my niece this weekend. We're on the drive back from work. Now, she's a great student. You know, she, okay. Yeah, I think the lowest grade she's had is like a B+ since we've been out here. But she's also in high school. She's going to be 15 this coming weekend. Okay. And we're driving back and I see a Tesla car. And I make a comment about Tesla because it's the second time I've seen a Tesla with a personalized Tesla plate. They're so proud. Tesla 1, Tesla 19, blah, 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 Tesla 76. So, okay. I sit there and, you know, I look at her and I go, you know, I'm not against EVs, but that really isn't a company. It's subsidized. And then I say, you know, they say that we live in a capitalist society, but really the government are the ones paying for a lot of that. And then I go, you know, and it's not like, you know, I hate the idea of electronic vehicles. And then she looks at me very unironically and she just says, I have no idea what you just said to me other than the last sentence. It's the only sentence I got. She had no idea what capitalism was. She said, she literally specifically said to me, I mean, she's in ninth grade. She said to me, I don't know what a capitalist is. I go, what are they teaching you over there? She didn't know what a subsidized meant. I was blown, and she's an excellent student. I was blown away, Courtney.
That's crazy. She's in ninth grade.
Wow. And sharp. Like, she reminds me a lot of me, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. We clash heads. But the fact, again, she's a teenager and doesn't know what capitalism is. You know, I remember very specifically that ninth grade, for me at least, was global studies. And it kind of opened up the other political arenas. I'd already learned about, you know, America and the Revolutionary War and, you know, a capitalist society and all these different things and the baseline of communism. You know, again, maybe that's from the era I was in. You know, we were talking earlier about the duck and cover drills. It was very much communism versus capitalism. Right. But not to have that context when obviously that term has been politically relevant throughout, I was blown away. I mean, we kind of had a good laugh about it, family moment, but boy, that is disturbing to me. And it doesn't shock me that when I read things like this, we've dropped down below 100 for the average IQ.
They say which test, I mean, it's disturbing regardless, but did they say which test that's on? Like whether
I'm not sure which one it is. I know there are a varying degree of IQ tests out there.
Sure.
But I mean, again, the critical thinking is just not there.
Well, and they don't want it to be there. So it's really interesting also, because if you know the history of IQ tests, you know, it was created by eugenicists. And then Mensa was created, you know, 1946. It was Cyril Burt, I believe it was. And, you know, he decided there should be like a social club for the, you know, elite intellect, mostly for eugenicist purposes. So it is all rooted in that. But that is interesting because they just felt that, you know, those who were of a lower intellect were the quote unquote useless eaters. And what do we keep hearing now? is, you know, this whole Malthusian concept that we need to get rid of all them useless leaders. And now we're seeing the IQs drop. So how many people are going to fall into that stratification of useless leaders? And it seems kind of convenient for those who subscribe to that worldview.
I think it's more than convenient. Again, it's not only the movement into transhumanism, it's the movement into automation. It's the movement into biotechnology, and to literally have a subservient class that is going to line up to be experimented on. I know that everybody's seen that latest Bill Gates clip that's now gone viral, where he's talking about mRNA for everything you can possibly imagine. I warn people, he sat there in April of 2020 and talked about the different generations of mRNA shots. Joe Biden got up there and, you know, babbled about cancer moonshots several times, like, now we're finally going to do it, guys. We've been promised for decades that we were going to live longer, be happier, work less. All the opposite has come true. Courtney, let everybody know where they can check out your podcast.
Oh, CourtneyTurner.com is the best place to find me. I spell my name like Courtenay, CourtenayTurner.com. I just released my 400th episode, so hopefully we'll keep going. Yeah.
Courtney, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. We got the Google whistleblower on the other side, Zach Voorhees. We're going to be talking AI and beyond. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.
I'm CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez. And normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
I'm Belinda, and this is Willard, and we were adopted in 2021. When we first met Todd, he was singing a song, and I was like, wow, look at this kid with the biggest smile, and he has a big heart to match.
The energy you give Todd, you get it back from Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's a joy.
Yes,
Todd really is a great joy.
I love him. You and you.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Perception versus the truth. Jason Burmess on today's News Talk, TNT.
We are now joined by Zach Voorhees. You know him as the Google whistleblower. He's talked with me about AI censorship and so much more. And today we're going to talk about chief artificial intelligence officers and this new movement where AI is completely and totally regulated by the government. Everything is audited from every agency to every corporate structure out there. But guess what? The intel community and the Defense Department are completely exempt. To me, this is extremely problematic. We now have seen the Human Health Services lay out their plan for this. Other agencies must do so in the next 30 days. As an early adopter of AI on multiple levels, I know we did that Mid-Journey tutorial with you. I know that you've built some chat bots that actually help you code. What are your thoughts on this? Is this going to stifle real innovation, or is this just kind of par for the course?
Well, you know, as I said before, the problem with this AI Bill of Rights, which came out in March of this year, is the fact that what they're going to do is they're going to regulate any AI model that's going to be bigger than ChatGPT-4. So it's basically the next generation that's about to hit the market, that's the certain size threshold that triggers a lot of these regulations by the government to come in and force companies to install a connoisseur that is going to regulate AI, figure out how they're using AI, get access to the data, the queries, all this kind of stuff, make sure that the AI remains aligned with sort of the goals of the government. And, you know, right now we're not feeling this, but it's just about to hit. And as an extension to this memo, essentially what's been happening is that they're starting to roll out this artificial intelligence to the state, tribal, local, and territorial governments serving millions of America. Now, you know, they're trying to say that this is to promote, you know, equitable administration of public benefits. But really what this is that this is a data grab of our information. They want to centralize it. They want to be able to use it to figure out who's eligible for certain government benefits and to be able to access our biometric data at large and vacuum all of that up and put it into the hands of the federal government. And so this is sort of like the new thing that's come out. I know you sent me this article before. I've been reading it. Holy crap, it's pretty crazy. and like, this is just another step as we're seeing this rollout of AI as it's being, you know, put out to government services. Now, look, we've all been at the DMV. It's kind of a nightmare, especially in a lot of regions, especially in California. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, well, here's a solution to all of the bad service that you're getting through these government agencies. What we're going to do is we're just going to vacuum up all this data. We're going to replace it with chatbots so that when people want to access these government services, it's going to have all your information. It's going to be this fusion center. And then it's going to be able to streamline your efforts in order to access these government services. And so, you know, it's interesting because, you know, they could have fixed the DMV system a long time ago. But, you know, anything that requires the use of government services is always like really painful. Like, ever try to like give a call to the IRS? It's a nightmare. Right. And so what they're doing right now is they're rolling it out as sort of a fix to the problem of it's really hard and there's a lot of friction to access these government, you know, websites for these services. They're going to make that easier. But the price that you're going to have to pay in order to get that is you're going to have to give them your data. That means your biometric data. That means your, you know, your driving records, what, you know, whether you used welfare in the past or received a food card, you know, that. All that information is going to be fed into a super intelligent AI that's going to, you know, one, they're going to be able to get your information, but two, they're going to be able to make it a little bit easier for you to use government services.
So ultimately, what people also don't grasp, and I think that you kind of nailed it right there, it's not just your data, right? You're just a little bit of the data. It is everything. So it's your biometrics, your medical records, whether you bought a Snickers bar, when you bought that Snickers bar. It's what Dennis Bushnell really talked about as the next level AI consciousness, where it reads all the emails. There is no privacy of anything. Somehow, some way, this will be uploaded to some server, and ultimately it will fall into the government's hands. That's the other really scary part of this. As they, in that document, like you said, it's pretty intricate, but it openly talks about these audits, and they're going to be audited throughout, not only the software, but the hardware. And you also talked about the guidelines and the regulations around them. In other words, they're going to have to be in line with whatever the great narrative is at that moment. And we already saw the result of Google's first AI product. And I don't think that we can emphasize enough how dangerous that was, because number one, this is the largest technopoly that has ever existed, and it works hand in hand with multiple levels of our government, from the NSA to NASA in the art of quantum computing and AI. You know, the D-Wave systems are now a decade plus old. That was quantum annealing. They're much further than that. Then you have them as the number one search engine in the world now for 2+ decades. Okay. They own the number two search engine in the world. That is YouTube, which is also the number one video platform in the world. If you look at operating systems on devices per capita, if you use Chrome and Android together, that is the number one operating system in the world. So they come out with an AI where you say, I want a World War II German soldier, and they give you a black man in an SS helmet. That's not encouraging. That shows you how flawed it is off the bat, and how unreal, and how baseline you can't trust it. Yet those are the guardrails they intend to put on all of AI.
Right. And here's the problem is that as they're getting more data and feeding it into the system, what's happening is that, you know, eventually they're going to pull in that social media feed, right? Like, they're already doing this in France, right? They have total surveillance of all the information that you post on Facebook by law, right? And this is eventually, my predictions, what's going to happen to the United States. The big thing that tells everything about you is, you know, your debit and credit card information, like where you're spending your money. Like, we're transitioning from this cashless society that can't track your payments to a, you know, debit and credit card system in which everything that you do is given to the bank. Now, one of the interesting things is that there was a project, or I'm sorry, James O'Keefe, OMG Media disclosure that showed that, you know, the IRS already has access to all of your bank account information through the use of their artificial intelligence, right? And so, you know, what we're seeing right here is sort of like a public disclosure of where they were probably about 2 years ago, right? The amount of information that they now have on each individual person is just incredible. And they're always more ahead than what they like to admit. And so now they're rolling this out, right? And it's dangerous, because the thing is that we don't have like a stable set of morals, right? Like, it's, everything's changing so rapidly, right? Like, before, you used to be able to get kicked off of Twitter during the pandemic if you were to say that these vaccines may have bad side effects, right? Well, now Christopher Cuomo came on and said that he's vaccine injured. You know, there's millions of people that are also vaccine injured. A lot of people have died. Like, I think one out of four people reports on a recent poll that they know someone that they believe died from vaccination. Like, that's a huge number. Now, it's not 25%, but it's 25% know someone in their network that has died, in their opinion, from this vaccine. And so the problem is that as this sort of current thing narrative moves from one position and waffles to another, what can happen is that if you become an undesirable for, you know, any particular point in history, you could see your purchasing ability limited. You could see your access to government, you know, services limited. And so what this is going to have is, this is going to have a chilling effect on each and every one of us, because we know that if we say the wrong thing on social media, we might get our government benefits, you know, eliminated or suspended. And so what is that going to do to the public discourse? It's going to shut it down. And that's what we've been seeing for the last 6 years, is this constant, gradual erosion of online civil rights because of fear.
And it's only continuing, and that's really where the problem lies. Again, this solidifies that idea and really encourages that behavior. Now, before, kind of talking about a cashless society, there's a lot of talk of a CBDC, but it really goes beyond that. They want blockchain people. And in some regards, they kind of already have this through the IMF World Refugee Program, where they do scan their biometrics. This does decide where they sleep, when they have their meal, where they can go work. This is very much a beta test of where they like to take everything. And with blockchain technology and QR codes, it is very, very easy to categorize these behaviors. We've gone already from the Internet of Things in many ways, also to the Internet of bodies. MySight technology, for instance, is being utilized in the drug Abilify. And for those that do not know what Abilify is, it is a antidepressant for when your antidepressants aren't working. So you take it on top of your antidepressants. But what's really great about this one is it has a built-in Bluetooth sensor that goes off every time that you take it. You can look it up, MySight, M-Y-C-I-T-E. And this is a drug that's been around now close to two decades, has actually lost numerous lawsuits, is in a new iteration, but it is now, you know, there used to be a time where you didn't take your medication, maybe. Now they're going to know if you're taking your medication. And on top of that, we're talking about psychotropic drugs off the bat. You know, we're not talking about your heart medication or your blood thinner or something that might save your life. You're talking about a drug that is controversial at best, in my opinion, Zach. And this leads, in my opinion, to not only a 1984, but a very brave new world where that is also integrated, the forced drugging of the population through this system. And unfortunately, with the AI reading all about us and creating these profiles, it's going to make more and more of us not only malleable, but categorized in a fashion where you might just have forced psychological evaluations that lead to that drugging. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't put on a YouTube video without seeing an ad for BetterHelp.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, you know, a large part of the mental health illness right now, I believe, is being caused by the effects of our vaccination program. Right. And so, you know, people get ADHD or autism or depression. And what's really interesting is that in the last 5 years or so, scientists have found out that there's a very strong link between these psychiatric disorders and, inflammation in the brain. And ADHD, inflammation levels are elevated, right? Autism, inflammation markers are elevated, right? And so as these people get injured from, you know, the medical system that we have, you know, they're going to be turning to these psychotropic drugs in order to try to remedy the situation. Now, the problem with that is that all of these laws that we've had with HIPAA in order to protect patients' rights, in order to prevent the disclosure to that to, you know, the government or the corporations, that's all going out the window, right? Like now you can ask somebody like whether they took the vaccine or not when they're applying for a job. You know, you used to be able to say that's my personal, you know, information. You can't even ask that, but instead, what's happening is that there are, you know, they're forcing people to disclose this information. Google is selling all of your medical information in bulk. And you're like, well, how can that possibly be? And it turns out that, oh, well, there's like this little carve out and this loophole within the HIPAA rules, which means that they can just sell all of your information on the free market as much as they want. Right. And so what happens when that information goes into an AI system? Well, OK, well, so such and such, maybe Zach Voorhees is a troublemaker and has the wrong ideas. And so now all of a sudden they can retroactively go through and say, well, you know, maybe he's taking X, Y, or Z. And so as a result of that, you know, I can't get a driver's license. Right. Or maybe I can't fly, or maybe I can't own a handgun. Right. Or maybe I get denied access to certain services. Right. And so the issue is that they're causing a lot of, you know, psychiatric problems are going through the roof. You try to get a remedy, and then all of a sudden, what you don't realize is that 5 to 10 years later, that can come back and bite you on the ass, right? Like now, all of a sudden, you're going to be flagged as an individual that's problematic. And the thing is that they're not going to do that for, you know, everyone. It's going to be the people that are causing trouble, right? And now they're going to have all this information. Now they can leak it to someone and be like, "Oh, did you know that, you know, Jason Burmis is like taking Abilify?" Right. And, you know, he must be doing that.
Not on the coldest day in hell will you find me taking Abilify. Zach, in these last couple of minutes, let's shift gears. Are there any products out there AI wise that are on a consumer level that are on the positive? Because, you know, I am utilizing the Photoshop tools. I do find it frustrating that some of the prompts are not allowed. I mean, it's very, very equity based in that regard. When you try gender, sadness, anything violence, there are certain ways you have to describe things. I know there's a lot of hype around Grok. What's coming around the corner AI wise that I should be paying attention to and utilizing while I can?
Yeah, well, so ChatGPT-4 by OpenAI just got dethroned by Claude 3. And this is really important. And it's really great for code because it's much better at coding than the ChatGPT-4 model. Now, what's really interesting is that Sam Altman, head of OpenAI that does the ChatGPT-4, came out and said that ChatGPT-4 will be the dumbest model you will ever use for the rest of your life, right? So what does he mean by that? Well, that's ChatGPT-4, or they might actually skip the 4.5 turbo and go directly to 5. Apparently, that's the rumor is that's going to come out next month. I predicted a year ago that it would be in December, but it looks like I was off by 4 months or 5 months. And it's looking like it's going to come out the end of this month or in June. And after that, we're going to see, and what he's promising is that it's, I lost you, TNT got in there. But anyways, they're promising that it's going to be way smarter. And we're all really excited as programmers because these coding bots just keep on getting better and better and better. And one of the things that I have is I've developed one of the best coding tools out there. It's called AI Code. If you guys out there are Python programmers, you can just install it by doing pip install zcmds. After that, installation is complete. Just type in AI Code in any of your Git repositories, and you can start adding files to the chat, asking it to make changes to your code, and it will just do it. So
Zach,
that's what
we have run. We have run out of time. I hope people check that out. We need much more time together, especially on the AI subject, brother. Thank you so much for joining us. We got to take a break. Second hour coming up. It's TNT.